Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line here on this Sunday morning. Michael Lombardi over there in New Jersey. I'm Tim Murray in Las Vegas, and thankfully I did not take a kick to the head like the one Alex Pereira delivered last night in the second round of UFC 303. We got Euro Cup action going on later this morning, Michael. Copa America, but the thing that you're most fired up about, 6 p.m. tonight, the official start of NBA free agency. Where, oh, where will Paul George go?
I thought it started already. I never know when they're starting or what they're not doing. I can't understand it. I mean, how about Italy losing to Switzerland? I mean, that was disappointing, right? And so we got to take that one on the chin. But anyway,
you can't always win the Euro, Michael. You won it last time, all right? You can't always win it.
Switzerland, come on, Tim, come on. Switzerland beats us.
Ireland didn't even make the Euro Cup, all right? So I got nothing to cheer for.
Well, I mean, look, we got to be a little better than that. You got to think we could be better than that. I mean, disappointing it to be. Anyway, look, this is fascinating. I mean, Paul George, when you look at him, yeah, okay, on paper, it looks like it's really good. Is he going to play all the games? One thing we know about the Clippers, so we understand this. The Clippers signed Kawhi to a 3-year deal, didn't give him 4. And they want to have Paul back, but they don't want to give the 4th year. And Kawhi took less than the number of deal. And so I think what's going to happen out there is I think Paul George wants to stay in California now. Would he go to the Warriors? I don't know. But I think most of the teams are just messing around. And I do think this new stadium that will be up and running next year in Los Angeles, which they tell me is magnificent, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do if they decide to trade. They'll trade Paul George if they don't re-sign him. It'll be a sign and trade to another team. And they'll get some assets back to offset losing him. But, I mean, I love how in the NBA we're making it out like, oh, my God, Paul George is going to turn a franchise around. They had Paul George in the Clippers, and they didn't get past the first round.
So Mark Stein pointed this out on his Substack, and I thought it was interesting. And you know how this ball game works. So he has opted out. Paul George has opted out, looking for a long-term deal. Reportedly, the three teams that will be in the running will be the Clippers for him to stay, the Orlando Magic, and the Philadelphia 76ers. Quote, "It has long been believed that George, as a proud Southern California native, hopes to extend his stay in Clipperland despite his 5-month struggles to generate the sort of contract he was hoping for. There is a persistent belief around the league that staying with the Clippers is his true preference and that George does not want to move away from the West Coast." What you just basically said there. So is he going to take these visits, or I guess they're going to come out to him, whatever it may be, to go back to Steve Ballmer and the Clippers front office and say, hey, look, I got this offer from Philly. I got this offer from Orlando. If you're Orlando, a team that is up and coming, has cap space, made it to the playoffs last year, exceeded expectations, I think you would love someone like Paul George to come down there because you are a young team needing scoring. And Orlando, I was talking with Elliot, our producer, Michael, during the break. I'm like, when was the last big time free agent that went to Orlando? Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill, you know, back in, you know, the early 2000s or whatever it was. So they're going to try. They're going to put the full court press on him. But it sounds like Paul George doesn't want to move if he doesn't have to.
I think that's right. And I think that, I think what the Clippers are showing you is they're not scared of free agency. And that's an important thing as an executive. Yep. You can't be scared of free agency. You can't say, oh, we'll just give in to you. You know, it's like, okay, go out there and shop it around. See what you come up with. See who wants to guarantee that 4th year. You know, would that be a smart move for Orlando to guarantee Paul George at age 33? I know he played 74 games last year, but that's the first time he's played over 70 games. You'd have to go back to 2018-19. Think about that, right? And so, you know, he played a lot of games. He played 33 minutes per game. And so if you're going to guarantee his 4 years, you know, now he's at 37. That money is going to be on the cap. And I know the cap's going to go up and you got a great new TV deal, but you got to be financially, fiscally responsible, should I say. So for me, I think they're going to let him go out there. And the Clippers, look, they couldn't get past the Mavericks in the first round. The other thing that bothers me is if James Harden and Paul George are tight, which they say they are, I mean, Harden's in really hatred towards Daryl Morey, how is that ever going to happen?
Yeah.
No, players talk, right? Players talk all the time. And so, you know, when that comes to that conversation is going to come out, and it's going to be like, you can't trust that guy. You can't trust that guy. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And will James Harden stay with the Clippers? We'll see what ultimately happens. I know it's funny. It all circles back. And I think here on VSiN, we joke about it with teams like the Lakers, who get a lot of headlines and column inches, whatever it may be. But they're a team that was seventh in the Western Conference a year ago, got bounced in the first round. But the reports are that LeBron James is willing to take a little bit of a pay cut in order to open up that full mid-level exception. And who would they ultimately sign with that? I think they're going to try to lure Klay Thompson maybe to play where his dad played and is still the color analyst for the television broadcast. But if you're Klay Thompson, which all reports are, Michael, the Klay Thompson run in Golden State, four championships, all the success, Hall of Fame career, he's not going back to Golden State. So is he going to go for the money, or is he going to go for, you know, staying on the West Coast and maybe going to play where his pops played?
Well, I think this is one of those years where, you know, you're 33 years old. If somebody's going to put guaranteed money into you, you're going to have to take it, yep. Right? I think to me, you know, Clay's at a point in his career where he's got one more contract and he's got one more bite of the apple. And to take a mid-level at the Lakers, you're risking a lot, right? He's won championships with Golden State. But this is the interesting thing about this move is Golden State doesn't want him back.
Nope.
Golden State's moving on. And Golden State's going to make their decision with Chris Paul here rather soon, because they've got to do something with his guarantee as of today. And so they probably will need, nobody's going to take the $30 million on Chris Paul's contract that's guaranteed. So they're going to waive him, and he's going to have to get a job somewhere else. So, look, we're going to see the rebuilding of the Warriors. I think that's pretty clear. The Warriors are going to look like a completely different team next year. Still, Steph Curry's going to be there. But I think we're going to see Draymond Green will be there, but I think we're going to see a different cast of characters. If I'm Klay Thompson, I'm going to go somewhere like Orlando where I get tax-free money in the state and on a good team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned this, I think, during the break, but it's so true, and you've dealt with this from the NFL side where does that, you know, Paul George is the big fish out there. And if he goes to L.A. or if he goes to Philly, there's a trickle-down effect. And Klay Thompson, I would imagine, even though you look at his numbers, and unfortunately, it just kind of stinks that his last game with the Golden State Warriors, I think he went 0 of 10 from three. It's never like to have that, you know, yeah, taste in your mouth. But if you're Orlando, who seems to be desperate for a decent size fish, you go for Paul George. Maybe he doesn't come. Yeah, if you're Klay Thompson, yeah, it'd be cool, I guess, to play where my dad played, but I want four championships. At the end of the day, I want as much money as possible, and I'm not going to take, what, $12.9 million, right?
I want Green.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, here's the concerning thing and why the Warriors are walking on him. He shot the lowest percentage that he shot in his career from the three-point line. You know, you have to go back to 2021 when he was coming off the Achilles after coming off the knee. He shot 38%. This year he shot 38.7%. So, you know, that's not a good sign when you're not making shots. It's a downward trend going down, you know, especially from the three-point line. And then you've got liability defensively. So, you know, I actually thought they were going to give up on Clay back in 2021, and they've kind of played this thing. I think oftentimes what happens to us in sports is we hang too long with keeping teams together. Walsh was really good at this. Belichick as well. You know, it's if you can get rid of a guy a year before, you're better off. And I think ultimately the Warriors probably feel that way right now.
Yeah. Speaking of the Warriors, Woj reported this on, I think, Friday night, that Golden State and Chris Paul, as you alluded to, there is a intent to move back the date of the guaranteed money so they can try to figure out a way to explore some trades. So they are hoping to push that back and maybe incorporate Chris Paul in some sort of trade, because in the NBA, you got to get creative with those trades, try to match up money and see how it all plays out there. But NBA free agency about to get rolling. Paul George, certainly the biggest name out there. Where will he go? You're not going to be out there making the pitch for him to come to your Sixers?
I think, to me, you know, everybody talks about, people want to come. I think it's a hard place to come to, because what you don't realize is Embiid's not a low post player. I hear this all the time on television. you know, well, the Sixers need spacing. How do they need spacing? The guy that's their best player shoots three-pointers. He's at the top of the key. He goes from the top of the key to the top of the key. If he were a low post player, I'd say, yeah, we need spacing. There's no question. But rarely is he in the low post. Rarely does he go down in there. And so the court is, it's never like we've got four shooters around him and he's in the low post. I mean, he's a small forward is what he is. That's the way he plays. And his conditioning is always going to keep him that way. And so, you know, I keep wondering when someone's going to make that. They keep saying, well, they need spacing. Well, they need somebody to get in the low post. They don't have anybody ever gets in the low post. He rarely does. And so he's constantly launching threes, or he's got that 15-foot jumper, which he's great at shooting. I mean, the guy's got an incredible skill set. I'm not arguing that. But when you're trying to build a team around an unorthodox player, which is what he is, he's a 7'2" huge man who plays like he's 6'6".
Yeah, we'll be seeing him in Las Vegas shortly with Team USA as you get ready for the Olympic run. So NBA free agency officially starting.
Better go early, Tim, because he could be a good chance he's going to be on injured reserve.
Yeah, there's a couple guys on that Team USA that Kawhi Leonard, really, we're going to get him. All right, hopefully, fingers crossed, he can go play over in Paris.
I love their patriotism, but when they're getting paid to play, they don't play.
That's Michael Lombardi. I'm Tim Murray. The VSiN NFL Guide is out. We turn our attention to the AFC. What are some disagreements Michael and I have in our predictions?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our all-new betting guide is out, the NFL betting guide, that is, and there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. With that NFL betting guide, it could become your secret weapon for the upcoming season. In-depth profiles, every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. You'll have all the tools you need to bet smarter this year. We've got our experts' best picks on season win totals, futures, and props, but here's the kicker. In order to get said guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. But don't worry, we've got a limited time offer for you. Annual subscription for a VSiN Pro is $199, usually $240, and we're throwing in an extra month, 13 months. Use the promo code Lombardi. VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code Lombardi. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi over there in Jersey. I am here in Las Vegas. Tim Murray sitting in for Femi Abebefe. Join a little R&R this time of year. 4th of July week. Going to be lighting up the grill this week, Michael. Getting ready for that Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Sans Joey Chestnuts.
Yeah. Have you done any homework on that? Are you ready to go on that? I haven't done any homework. I don't know who's going to replace him. I know Joey was trying to get an exemption to get in there. I know he was trying to move some things. But look, I think it's awesome. Look, this is a busy time of the year down here at the Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody takes, you know, with 4th of July being on Thursday, this is everybody's off this week. So it's a lot of big crowds down here. Unfortunately, the weather, we're going to have to build an ark here because it's rained quite a bit here on the Jersey Shore today. So it's not exactly beach weather. It's not boardwalk weather. So the businesses, they take a huge hit on a day like today because there's nobody renting bikes, nobody walking on the boardwalk, buying trinkets and stuff like that.
I always, you know, growing up outside DC, we would go to the Delaware beaches. There's Ocean City, Maryland as well. But you always not loved when it rained, but you would see those families are like, I don't care. I spent this amount of money. It's my beach week. We're going out, rain or shine. We're going on the boardwalk. We're going on the rides. We're going in the damn water. We're going no matter what.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, you rent for the week, and this is the most expensive week to rent. So you want to get the most out of it. I see people go down there. It's like, you know, in like Caddyshack when they're out there when the Monsignor is playing in the rain with the priest, and you know they're saying it's going to slow down. That's the way it looks out here today.
We got Euro Cup starting top of the hour. England and Slovakia. Then later today, it'll be Georgia and Spain. And unfortunately, Michael, mourning the loss of the Italians yesterday. The 2020 Euro champs bounced by the Swiss 2-0 yesterday afternoon over there in Germany.
Terrible. Right, it's terrible. I mean, nobody's getting free pasta for this one. Nobody.
England, a pretty significant favorite. Spain, an even bigger favorite later on today in the Euro Cup. Well, we mentioned it coming back from break. The VSiN NFL betting guide is out right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. You need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber in order to get that VSiN NFL guide. I want to jump to the AFC North. Fascinating division. It always is. Great rivalries when you have the Baltimore Ravens coming off the season that they had just a year ago, Lamar Jackson winning MVP. The Bengals hoping to bounce back, hoping the health of Joe Burrow is fully there. Cleveland Browns, certainly an AFC, AFC division in which you've got a lot of talent, questions at the quarterback position, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers as consistent as they come. You and I, Michael, not only believe that the Bengals at that price are worth a look, but we're in simpatico here that we believe the Bengals, assuming health of Joe Burrow, could make a pretty deep run in January.
Well, I mean, look, they were poorly defensively last year. There's no denying it, right? I mean, they lose their two safeties, which were a key component. What I think we have to understand as fans is the safety position is like having another coordinator on the field for the defense, right? So it gets everybody lined up. Everybody gets the check. Everybody knows what's going on. Well, when you lose Jesse Bates and you lose Von Bell and you try to play two young kids who are just learning how to play as opposed to getting everybody to play, it becomes a real problem. They're 31st in yards allowed last year, right? They had a hard time getting the run game coordinated, filling in the gaps. They were 30th in the league in terms of yards per attempt against them in the run game. They were 32nd in giving up yards per play in the passing game, which is a problem, right? And so, you know, and what's interesting is teams ran the ball more than they threw it on them, and they were making big plays. So I think with the addition of getting Von Bell back, first guy they signed in free agency was Geno Stone, who will come in and give them, and Lou Amoromo will give them some stability within their defensive front and get everybody lined up, get everybody on the same page, and kind of coordinate the defense from the sideline, which will help. And then, of course, Burrow. Look, this offense that Zach Taylor runs is predicated really on the quarterback. It's an 11 personnel offense. One side's always going to be open, which allows the defense to do some things. And the quarterback's got to put you in the right play, move things around. They don't change personnel groupings at all. So, you know, going into the game, you're prepared for an 11 game the whole game. And it really comes down to the viability of the offense and the quarterback. It's a lot of pressure on this quarterback. And I think last year when he was not healthy at the beginning of the year, it hurt them. And then when he finally got healthy, it became a problem. But they couldn't stop people. They couldn't keep the ball on third down. They couldn't keep people off the field on third down.
You know what? You know, Lou Anarumo, you heard so much about him. He was getting head coaching, job interviews just a couple years ago. As a bettor, I'm always looking for the sell high and the buy low. It feels a little bit, because of the struggles they had defensively just a year ago, that it almost feels like and I hate using this word, but the narrative is the roses off the bloom, so to speak, on Lou Anarumo. What do you make of him? I feel like we're almost getting a buy low opportunity on what is believed to be one of the more better defensive minds in the game.
Well, I think he clearly would have said to you, look, we had communication issues, which is true, right? You know, getting Geno Stone back there really helps. And then getting Von Bell to return helps. So now they don't have to play battle, a third round pick in 2023 last year, or Dax Hill can move back out the corner, which is where he belongs. So I think that helps them. You know, I think to me, they've got to be able to shore up the inside. You know, when they can't stop the run, when DJ Reader was going good and he got hurt on them last year, it really affected them. So they signed Sheldon Rankins. They let Reader walk. They draft Chris Jenkins Jr. from Michigan in the second round. So hopefully they can kind of get some physicality up front and still be able to rush the passer with Hendrickson and Hubbard coming off the edge. So to me, a lot of what Lou wants to do is play from in front, right? He's got good schemes. He's got good ideas on how to attack the passer. And they're very good in the red zone. I mean, they've been very good in the red zone. Last year, as bad as they were on defense, they were 11th best red zone team in football. So, you know, it's one thing. People are going to move the ball on you. It's how do you keep them out of the end zone? And I think that's got to be the key for them. And Burrow, look, they signed Zach Moss. We know this last year. Joe Mixon didn't have the same power, the same juice in his lower body. He wasn't the same back. And I think they missed that. They didn't have a back that could really kind of create some problems. The right tackle position for Cincinnati is an issue. Because Trent Brown, whether he's in shape or not, that's going to be key. Can Amarius Mims, who they drafted in the first round from Georgia, can he come in there and play? Because if they're weak on the right side and you're an 11 personnel team and they really don't want to play, I mean, Drew Semple will play some tight end. Gesicki's more of a receiver than a tight end. So they're going to have to kind of maneuver around to help those tackles out.
All right, let's get to the AFC South. We had some news courtesy of the GM shuffle this week when Chris Ballard jumped on and Adam Schefter took it and ran with it, as did many other publications, that Anthony Richardson's ready to rock and roll. He's a full go from the mouth of Chris Ballard on your podcast, the GM shuffle. So you are intrigued by the Colts this year. I look at this division, Michael, and I think, look, this is not a knock on Houston, but you went from nobody believed in us to now everybody believes in us. So for me, I was looking to either go Jacksonville or Indianapolis. You ultimately sided with the Colts at +310. What do you expect from Indianapolis, and why could they ultimately win this division this year?
Well, I mean, look, I think it's Indianapolis was one completed pass away from beating Houston when they were playing at their best.
Right.
And that was with Gardner Minshew. So if you get Richardson back and, you know, they get Latua to come and rush off the edge, you're always worried about their defense. Can they hold up? But I think to me, this is going to be a year where Houston is going to, it's going to be harder to win. They're playing a first place schedule. Everybody studied them in the offseason. No one's taken them lightly at all. They're going to have to play their best week in and week out because Stroud has come in very good, and they've got to stay healthy. I think this is up for grabs everywhere. Jacksonville, the same thing. I mean, Jacksonville was dominating the South up until when they got in the second half of the season. They couldn't win a game. And it's a big year for Doug Peterson in the South because they just gave Trevor Lawrence that huge deal. They're going to build a brand new stadium, so that's going to be critical. And, you know, they're going to try to get people in the seats and buy club seats and do all that. So they've got to shine a little bit here. And I think in Houston's done a lot to their team, but are they good enough? I mean, they won a lot of games. They beat Cleveland in a playoff game, dominated that. But, look, they were fortunate to get in just by that incomplete pass.
Tell you what, the Colts, really intriguing wide receiver core, getting Adonai Mitchell, who was the dropper, so to speak, in the NFL draft. Fascinated to see how that offense will look in 2024. That's Michael Lombardi. I'm Tim Murray. Our VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and we got some super.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbafe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make sure you head over to vsin.com. Great resource. Always is. Not only do we have our NFL betting guide out there now, vsin.com/subscribe, but we have our best bets page. We've got the betting splits. We've got articles from Zachary Cohen on Wimbledon. We've got the Ally 400 today in NASCAR from Adam Burke. We've got Eurobets as well, courtesy of Nigel Seeley. About to get underway. The knockout round continues. England taking on Slovakia. Head on over to vsin.com. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Tim Murray in for Femi Abbafe here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael Lombardi there in New Jersey. And we've been discussing the NFL betting guide throughout the show. Michael contributing a handful of content there. We've got best bets as well. Before we jump into some thoughts for the Super Bowl and our beliefs of who could ultimately get there, I do want to circle back because one of the best columns in there is your breakdown of what to expect from these new NFL coaches. And some of them are names that we've known before. I want to get to Jim Harbaugh, who you talked about a little bit, and you do like the Chargers to go over their win total. This is what you said, Michael, in our guide. The Chargers found the right person to solve their problems, as they previously were not considered a physical or mentally tough team. They were soft front runners and had no accountability as they placed the burden on winning solely on star quarterback Justin Herbert. So Harbaugh, you alluded to in the first hour, and it's worth repeating. I mean, everywhere he's gone, Michael, I know it's cliche now, yeah, but it's fact. everywhere he's gone, he has been a massive success. And, you know, as a college football guy, I think about what he did. People do not recognize how terrible Stanford was as a program when he got there. I think they were 1-11 the year prior, and he made a Stanford program that, let's be honest, it's known for academics. It's beautiful out there in Palo Alto. They were as hard-nosed as you could have imagined over the years he was there. And, you know, we're in the thick of it for national championships year over year before he ultimately, you know, went back to the or went to the NFL with San Francisco. So, yeah, it seems like a very good fit. And I guess that question I have for you for the Chargers is, does this roster have the construction to be tough? And was that a clear indicator when they spent the fifth pick on Joe Alt to take over on the right side with Rashawn Slater on the left side?
Yeah, well, I mean, you just listen to his comments when he asked him about offensive linemen, and he just went into a whole dissertation about, you know, everything evolves around the offensive line, which is what he learned from Coach Walsh when he was with him, when Coach Walsh was on the campus of Stanford. Even though Coach Walsh was a offensive coach, it was all about the line, how we've got to play well. And now they've got, you know, they've got three number one picks in this offensive line. Zion Johnson's got to play better. Slater, the left tackle, and Alt, the right tackle, are all first round picks. They signed Bradley Bozeman as a cap casualty from Carolina. Look, they're going to run Dobbins. They're going to run Edwards. They're going to run the guys that they have to see if they can get something. Vidal, who they drafted in the sixth round. They're going to play action pass. One thing we do know when with Greg Roman is that he can run the football. We can argue about his passing game when he gets behind, but I think what Jim has done with the coaching staff is try to surround Roman with other people that can help him expand on a passing game that kind of is linked together. What you don't want is two sections. You don't want a running game that looks different than the passing game. You know, Kyle Shanahan's run action looks exactly like his play action. So that's when the defense doesn't really know what's going on and they can't really take a look at it. But what this team needs is toughness, right? This team needs toughness. They need to be able to win close games. They need to be able to win the fourth quarter, right? And they need to get their best players. You know, like we talk about, you know, we're going to do the blue chips and red chip safeties, and Derwin James is going to be in the top five safeties in the league. But you never really feel them when you play the game. You don't feel like they have it. They don't have a home field advantage either, yeah. Right? So those are the things that have to happen. And it comes from building enthusiasm and a sense of getting everybody on the same page, which I think Jim does a great job of. You know, when he took over San Francisco with after Mike Singletary, they were down, down, down. And he brought them back. You know, he got – what did he do? The first thing he did was to get Alex Smith to play better. He did. And then he traded Alex Smith to Kansas City. And then all of a sudden, you know, they got Colin Kaepernick to come in there and play well. And then Kaepernick never really had a career after that. So I think to me, that's part of being a good head coach is to get your players to play at the highest level, which is what is so important.
20 out of 21 of us picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win the AFC West. The lone believer in the Chargers in the sense to win the division was my guy, Jonathan Von Tobel. So he went on a limb and said the Chargers maybe could pull off the AFC West. So we'll
I think it's an interesting, I think that's an interesting subject to talk about because Tim, because I think, look, we all know the Chiefs have great Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs offseason has not been like you would sit there and say, wow, they've really improved. And they've had problems, right? Last year, we know they won with defense. Now, they come back. Chris Jones just got a new contract. They lose Snead, right? Who's going to replace Snead on the in the corner? Are they going to take McDuffie and move him outside? He was an elite inside slot corner, right? And then offensive line. I mean, the left tackle position here for this team is void. You know, they got Wanted Morris, who got picked up on charges. They've got the kid they drafted from BYU in the second round who's not ready to play at left tackle. And then the right tackle, Jawan Taylor, lined up in the backfield half the time last year. So it isn't like this offensive line is elite. And then let's talk about they brought back Hardman. Right? When you bring back Hardman, you're saying, wait a minute, well, hold on. Rashee Rice could get suspended. Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, both those guys are inconsistent. I don't know what Worthy's going to bring to the table, but they're not the same team. And if they run Pacheco and do what they did in the playoffs, kind of play a conservative style, that's the way they're going to. But if they try to throw it, they're going to turn the ball over because they're not as good. And I think to me, JVT kind of recognizes that. Now, it's hard to bet against Mahomes because he's so good and he can overcome so many things. But I think there is some validity that somebody else could win this year because it's hard to get the team's attention 3 years in a row.
Yeah, back-to-back Super Bowls, three in the last 4 years. It's been a ridiculous run here. Yeah, I'm curious about Xavier Worthy. It's one of those things, Michael, where anybody who gets drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes, understandably so, is, oh, man, rookie of the year, all this and that. And he's got electric speed, but, you know, we'll see. I'm not completely sold of Xavier Worthy yet in the NFL. And is he going to be, you know, out there? But if they just, you know, can just say, hey, go run one route, go run a, you know, a deep shot and Patrick will get you the ball. Maybe that'll ultimately work there for Xavier Worthy.
But you got to protect for it. You still got to protect for it. Yeah. You got to protect for it. That's the problem.
Yeah. Sui Matia from BYU was someone who dropped in the NFL draft. And you mentioned it, you know, before regarding some, you know, folks who have dropped. There's usually a reason. We don't know why, but there usually is a reason. So we'll see, because a lot of people mocked him to the Chiefs at the end of the first round, and he went to him the end of the second round. Wes Reynolds, by the way, going to jump on the show to close it out, get his thoughts on his picks for the NFL upcoming season. So let's get to your Super Bowl prediction. Bengals over Lions. I like it, Michael. We're getting a little creative here.
Well, I mean,
both you and I, by the way, have Cincinnati in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I think you got to think differently here. I mean, it's so hard to predict the Super Bowl winner at this time of the year. You don't know who's going to stay healthy, who's going to play their best. It's really just, it's guesswork. I do think the Lions, are there certain teams that can gradually take steps up the ladder? And I think the Lions can take, they took a step last year up the ladder. They didn't flinch. I think they've improved their team this year with the additions they've made in the secondary. If they can get more rush, Marcus Davenport, can he do something for him alongside of Aiden Hutchinson? So I think this team, you know, when you lose a heartbreaker like they lost to San Francisco out in California, you come back with a resolve. They kept their team together. They kept their coaching staff together. Those things matter, right? And, you know, the players got paid, yes, but I do sense there's some hunger, and the head coach will maintain that hunger level, which they have to do. And, look, I think the only concern they have there is, look, they signed the kicker from the XFL, Bates. We'll see if he can do it, because Badgley was a little bit iffy going in there. So we'll see if Bates can come through and kick those long kicks like he did in the XFL.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the biggest additions was not a subtraction. What I mean by that is that I think all of us were just assuming, all right, Ben Johnson's going to go somewhere. He's going to get a head coaching job, and he didn't. He ultimately turned down opportunities, and he's going to stay there as the offensive coordinator, which is at this, you know, and you could speak to this, Michael, it's kind of unheard of when you're this rising big-time star. You know, for him, he felt comfortable in Detroit, and now you've got...
I think Washington was only offering 4 years. Mm. They weren't really trying. I mean, Washington sees the coach as changeable like they do in basketball. I don't think it was the right situation for Ben. And I think he knows if they win, he'll get the perfect situation.
Yeah, he's got an offense that should be humming. Sam Laporta, year two. Amon-Ra St. Brown getting his big deal. Jameson Williams, we'll see. But the Lions, a lot of expectations this upcoming year. Wes Reynolds going to jump on to close out the show. He's got a pretty interesting NFC South champ. Didn't see this one coming. That's Michael Lombardi. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new, it's a beaut, VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter. In-depth previews of all 32 teams, win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best bets. That includes futures from all of our VSiN experts, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to a smarter, more informed betting season. VSIN.com/guide. VSIN.com/guide. It is the Lombardi Line here on VSIN on this Sunday morning. Tim Murray in for Femi Abebefe here in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi over there in New Jersey. And joined on the desk right now, the pride of the Hoosier State, Wes Reynolds is in the building. So we're going to go three wide. Wes will be joining Matt Brown, top of the hour, on the handle here on VSIN. So I got to start with this. So many ways to go with the betting guide out. We talked about my co-host, JVT. Wes is the lone man out there taking the Chargers to win the AFC West. Let's go to the NFC South. The method to the madness of the Carolina Panthers to win the division.
Yeah, look, I felt that there was a division to kind of take a shot and maybe go a little outside the box here. I thought it was the NFC South. Look, Atlanta, the right clear favorite, I think. They upgrade at quarterback with Cousins, of course, over Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke, but he's also a 36-year-old quarterback off an Achilles injury. And this is also a new coach in Raheem Morris and a new scheme. They lose their defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen, to the Jaguars, which I think is actually a big loss because I thought he really improved Atlanta's defense last year. Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield finally finds a home. However, Dave Canales is gone, and that's one of the reasons I like Carolina. And then with New Orleans, you have an aging quarterback, you have an aging offensive line. The head coach I like much better as a defensive coordinator in Dennis Allen, so I'm not that high on New Orleans. So that draft left me process of elimination with Carolina, who I think gets an upgrade at coach with Dave Canales. And I also think gets an upgrade at general manager with Dan Morgan. The defense was pretty darn solid last year. It was at least middle of the pack and would have been better if they weren't put in jail by a poor offense last year. So Evero, who came from the Broncos, I think really improved that defense. That's going to be the strength of the team. The offense still a work in progress, but I think it's got a chance to get a lot better with Dave Canales at the helm.
Well, I mean, look, they did beat, I mean, let's face it, they beat C.J. Stroud with C.J. Stroud at quarterback off the bye week, right? Remember that game? I mean, it wasn't pretty, but they did win that game. And there's only one way to go but up. I agree with you. I don't know who the best team in the South is, because when you break it down, everybody wants to bet Atlanta, but Atlanta's done nothing to improve their defense. And as good as Nielsen, and I agree with you, Wes, coach last year, when the Bucs got the ball with 2 minutes to go in the game, they couldn't stop them from scoring. And the Bucs won the game 29-25, something like that. So for me, I think it's upside down. Now, if you told me Derek Carr is going to play like he did four of the last five games, I'm going to bet the Saints. But I can't predict that because he's Rory McIlroy. He's Ricky Fowler. He'll play good when it doesn't matter.
A very sore spot for those of us that have bet Ricky Fowler over the years. Yes.
But that's true, though. I mean, you cannot deny it. You cannot deny Ricky Fowler's the ultimate at shooting 64 on opening day, and you think he's in it, and then the next thing you know, he's going to shoot 78.
He's always there to congratulate the winner, though. He is Mr. Congeniality.
Always so happy. He's won it every year. He's the happiest guy in America.
Quick aside, I was watching John Anderson had his final SportsCenter on Friday. Long time, did it for 25 years. And one of his commercials he did was with Ricky Fowler. And he walks in and he goes, "I'm just so tired." And he grabs the decaf pot because he's always wearing orange. He's like, "Are you colorblind?" All right. Wes Reynolds hanging with us here. It is the Lombardi Line on a Sunday. Let's get to a division that we have talked about a little bit, the AFC North. Very intriguing division. Both Michael and I rather bullish on the Cincinnati Bengals. And it looks like you are, to an extent, you have them as a best bet to win the AFC North right now at DraftKings at plus 145. So we're three peas in a pod here with this Cincinnati Bengals team. Maybe for the Bengals, and you're not going to say this often, Wes, maybe a little of a buy low opportunity with Joe Burrow coming off of the injury from a year ago?
Yeah, 3-for-3, I think, here. Yep. Because, look, they do get the last place schedule. They went 9-8, yep, but that was good enough for last place in the North. New coordinator with Dan Pitcher, because Brian Callahan takes the Titans head coaching job, but it is Zach Taylor calling the plays. Look, I think Ja'Marr Chase, I would think he's going to have a monster year. This is a contract year, and he saw, you know, his fellow LSU Tiger Justin Jefferson get that big deal, and he's going to want some of it. But I really think it's the defense that it's kind of being undersold here a little bit. It was down last year, no question about it. But they get Von Bell back. It didn't work out for Von Bell with Carolina. He is back. Geno Stone comes in from Baltimore, who led the league in interceptions at the safety position. They do lose DJ Reader, so a little bit of a downgrade in run stopping with Sheldon Rankins, but I think Rankins is a better pass rusher and can get to the quarterback better. And, you know, Lou Anarumo as defensive coordinator, those safeties are so important in the scheme that he runs. So I think the Bengals defense is going to be a lot improved, and I think the Ravens are going to take maybe a small step back. I still think they're a wild card team, but now you have film on Todd Monken in his second year as offensive coordinator with Lamar. And we know Lamar is hard to prepare for anyway with that running ability. So Baltimore lost a lot in free agency too. So I'm still going to trust John Harbaugh that they're going to get in the playoffs, but the offensive line needs work. And they only have one big play threat down the field, I think, with Zay Flowers.
Well, let me ask you, you're from Indianapolis. Who's your guy? And you don't like the Colts. You like the Colts under 8.5 wins. Tell me why.
Yeah, it's more of a schedule thing, Michael. I think they're going to win either 8 or 9 games. So it's right on the number. It's just, I don't think, number one, that they did a lot to improve the team. And Chris Ballard was basically like, we're going to run it back here. And Chris Ballard's under a little bit of heat, too, because he's got one playoff win since he started back in 2014. And he decided, OK, we're going to run it back here. We're going to basically re-sign the core. We're not going to go too far outside the box in free agency. Richardson and Taylor being healthy at the same time is certainly attractive and presents a wide array of possibilities. But the offensive line, still a little shaky to me, and that defense still a little shaky to me, because one of the things about Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, they play a lot of zone. They don't really blitz very much. They don't disguise coverage a great deal, even though I think the defensive line is going to be really good. The secondary is a little iffy, and they also have some scheduling quirks here. I think they get like 3 teams off bye weeks, and they get 2 teams off long rest that play the Thursday night game that don't obviously have to play that Sunday. So those are little schedule quirks that I think do work against the horseshoe this year.
Yeah, circling back, I just want to point this out regarding Cincinnati, since this has turned out to be a Cincinnati show today. 6th easiest schedule in the NFL. You alluded to the easiest, the last place schedule. Michael, I want to throw this to you. We kind of ping pong it back, but when you do get that last place schedule, their 3 unique games, as opposed to everybody else in the division, they get Tennessee, Carolina, and New England. They are a favorite in all of those games by at least 4.5 points. Yeah. So it is pretty advantageous for Cincinnati when you're looking for any small edge. And the Cincinnati Bengals, boy, the 3 games that they get to play that no one else in the AFC North gets to play, Tennessee, Carolina, and New England. Not too shabby there for Cincinnati this year.
No, I mean, that's one of the benefits of having that. But I always look at the schedule just in September, because I think when you, like, Pittsburgh has it hard down the stretch, there's no denying that. But to me, you just don't know the injury of teams. I mean, we've seen it. Look, when San Francisco was beat up in the middle of the year 2 years ago, Atlanta beat them, right? You know, Kansas City went out there and just destroyed them. It's all about injuries and timing. So when what we do in July and look over the landscape, it's a lot easier. It's cleaner now because everybody's healthy. But once the injuries come in, then all of a sudden things change dramatically.
Michael Lombardi over there, Tim Murray, Wes Reynolds here at Studio. Wes going to be joining Matt Brown, top of the hour on the handle. All right, parting gift here, Wes, your Super Bowl way too early prediction. Mine was Niners over Bengals. Michael had Bengals over Lion. What did you throw in the guide?
Yeah, I didn't really go too far off the beaten path here. I have Eagles over Chiefs.
Okay.
Eagles, I think, maybe a little bit too much hype last year, and this is the year, I think, for the hype. I think they've upgraded with the coordinators. I think Jalen Hurts is going to be healthier, so obviously that helps them. They're going to be a little younger on defense, but maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Michael, appreciate it as always. You'll be back on Monday on the Lombardi.
Thank you, Tim.
Happy to do it. And I'm going to go hit the road, boys. I'm going to go do a cross-country road trip starting today. Denver, here I come. That's my first stop. So we'll hear from you tomorrow.
Good luck.
We'll hear from you coming up top of the hour with Matt Brown. You won't hear from me all week. Adios, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thanks to Pat Leonard for joining the show. Thanks to producer Elliot. For Michael Lombardi, for Wes Reynolds, I am Tim Murray, The Handle. With Matt Brown and Wes coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.